today.
Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. I'm a garden expert, a horticulturist, landscape designer. I just love digging in the dirt and watching flowers grow and helping people with their gardens.
So you were that kid growing up.
I was, yes. I would, you know, we would always bring flowers home, or we'd look at the flowers growing on the side of the road. We went on walks. My mom would always take us on a wee walk, and it just tired us out. We were sound asleep by 7.
I love it.
You know.
Your mom was smart. You wear them out, then they go to sleep.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know, how do you keep a kid from being up? I would babysit kids. They'd say, oh, they could stay up till 11. And I'm going,
I know they can.
No. I'd read them a story, and they'd go to sleep. Kids don't want to stay up late.
Oh, yeah.
So, but they do want to pull weeds. I know that.
Except for one. Yeah. That's a whole other story. I got one of those grand rats, and let me tell you what. He decided at 8 years old to poop his pants instead of weeding. And I said, okay, you know what? You going home with poopy pants to your mom. I called his mom and said, come get him. He's got poopy pants. I ain't changing it.
The poor thing.
Poor thing he chose. He did not want to work off his debt that he owed to me for buying him his water pass.
So
anyway, I'm Lizzie Steele, by the way. So
Lizzie is our best producer. Thank you so much for being here today. Happy Father's Day weekend to everyone out there. Happy Father's Day to Shrek.
Happy Father's Day to Tony.
Yes, Tony is the best father. And my sons, Derek and Patrick, thank you so much for all our beautiful grandbabies. And so we just adore them. Yeah. And Peepaw, Tony's called the Peepaw.
I love
that. After his dad. His dad was called the Peepaw. And they just adore him.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, happy Father's Day to Shrek, which is my husband. We call him Shrek. And then happy birthday to my son, or our son, Devin. So he's a great dad, except for the one kid. Who pooped his pants to get up doing chores.
Okay, we're moving on. You have to save this and give it to him when he graduates high school. Okay, so this week the weather, well, it's getting a little bit better, but it's getting hotter. Okay, so you have to be very careful when you're out there. Drink lots of water. Literally, heat exhaustion can happen in 15 minutes. So if you're out working in the yard, be hydrated first, wear light-colored clothing, lightweight clothing, and take a break. And drink water every 10 minutes or so. You need to drink a gallon of water per half an hour if you're going to be out working in the yard. And I tell you, my crew is so good. They work so hard. But, you know, usually they work until 3:30, 4 o'clock, and then they have to get back to their office and drop off the equipment. They are wiped out by 1:30, 2 o'clock, they're wiped out.
I believe, yeah, because we have a construction dirt company, so I get it. And also throw in some electrolytes in there, too, and a couple of bananas every once in a while, too.
That would be good. 30% chance of rain every day. You know, not likely for the entire state, but for most of the state. We are going to get a shower this week, but it is diminishing, and we're going to probably get back into our normal rain pattern this next week. Highs in the 90s, lows in the mid-70s. So it's a good time to be out there working in the early morning hours or late in the evening. Okay, not during the heat of the day. Lizzie, do you know the Pacific, the West Coast has already had 4 named hurricanes?
Really?
Yeah, tropical storms. They haven't really developed yet, but they're already through the letter D in the alphabet. Atlantic, knock on wood, we are still going strong. No storms for the next 7 days. So we are good. And when it comes to taking care of your weather, look at the weather at the beginning of the week. Look for your area, no matter where you are in the country, and see if the possibility of rain is there. Want to give a shout out to all the people in Texas and Louisiana with all the heavy storms you've had. Louisiana, Mississippi, Dr. Gary Bachman, hope you're doing well. And the storms, he's been out working in his yard. And he will be here in August to to play with Tom McCubbin.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, they're going to have a great time. And so what should you be doing right now in your yards if you get out there? Well, one, this week, I was walking through clients' yards, and sod webworm is rampant right now in St. Augustine lawns. So how do you know if you have sod webworms or going to have sod webworms? When you're walking through the yard, through the grass, you see clouds of white moths flying up from the ground. Just look down. You'll see one here, two there, you know, one here, one there. I'm telling you, I was walking through and there was 20 to 30 moths coming up, like literally a cloud. Now, when you see the moths, that's just something to take note of. If you've got three or four you see in your entire yard, no big whoop. You don't have to put anything down. You see 15, 20, 30 as you're walking through the entire yard, you need to put down an insecticide. But you need to put it down about a month from now, 4 to 5 weeks from when you see the moths, because the moths aren't doing the damage. The moths aren't doing the damage. It's the eggs that they're laying that are going to hatch, and their larvae, the grubs, are going to be eating the lawn. Okay, they're going to be eating the root systems, and your lawn is going to start to decline. So wait a few weeks, put it on your calendar, put down some grubicide for sod webworms, look at the insecticides, make sure that insect is labeled on your insecticide, and that's when you put it down. All right, we have the wonderful Heather Stickney from Summit Responsible Solutions coming up and telling us how to have a great Father's Day. Peterson's Nursery has a lecture this morning at 9:30 a.m. on Patriot Landscaping. So you want to go to that in Lakeland right there off of 540. We're going to be right back if it's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We're going to have a lovely day out in the garden area right now. We're going to welcome Heather Stickney. She is a representative with Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Good morning, Heather. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am great. What are your plans for this weekend?
Well, I will tell you right now, I am watching a mama duck and her ducklings on my patio. So that was a completely unexpected surprise this morning, but just kind of catching up on some things after a busy week in the office this past week.
There you go. That is really on our schedule too as well. Lizzie's and mine. And so do you live near a lake?
I am actually, I back up to a cornfield.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so there must be some water nearby. We seem to have a large number of ducks in the area, but...
Oh, that's wonderful. So, Heather, this year and last year, Florida's gone up and down. We've had little rain, no rain. We've had too much rain. And right now, we're seeing from this week's rainfall flooding and little small creeks, you know, rising up. And all the mosquito divisions are saying, watch out now, the mosquitoes are coming. We understand near lakefronts and like your home, you said there's must be a lake nearby you. But where should we be looking in our landscapes for mosquito larvae?
Well, really, any place that might collect standing water. So if you have a rain barrel or a bird bath, and I think sometimes people forget to look up, you know, your rain gutters can collect standing water. So anywhere around your yard where you might have standing water, you have a potential breeding site for mosquitoes.
Yeah, it takes, what, 3 days for a mosquito larva to hatch?
I believe that is correct, yes.
Yes. Okay, and so this last week, I was at a client's house, and they have a tree, big, huge oak tree in their yard. It's lovely, but it is two oak trees that have kind of, you know, gone apart. And in the middle of the crotch, they have standing water and oak leaves, and it's just a little area where pools puddle. So mosquito larvae can be laid. The eggs can be laid in an oak tree.
Yes, yes. Mosquitoes don't need a lot of water to lay their eggs. So in an area like that, you could use something like Summit's mosquito bits to help control those larvae.
Okay, so explain what mosquito bits are for all our new residents, because we're getting so many new people in Florida now.
Sure. Mosquito bits they're made from a biological insecticide called BTI. They're a granule that you simply spread into areas of standing water, and they release that BTI, which acts as a gut disruptor to those developing larvae. So essentially, those larvae are filter feeders. They're ingesting nutrients in the water, and if they get a dose of that insecticide, or when they get a dose of that BTI, it prevents them from feeding, and essentially they never develop into those mature biting adults.
That sounds very, very environmentally friendly.
It is. It's the one thing that I truly appreciate about our product, is that it does what it says it's supposed to do without any impact to other living species.
So what's the difference between mosquito bits and mosquito dunks?
They're basically the same thing, although our bits are designed more for a quick kill, where our dunks last over a longer period of time for more sustained control. So, you know, if you see or if you have a large body of standing water where it might be difficult to treat with a dunk, you can broadcast bits.
Okay. And then even too, like if you have a flat roof where it collects water and things, you could put the dunks up there, and then they can dry up a little bit. But when, how does it work when the rain comes back again?
So there really isn't an expiration date to the dunks. As long as they stay dry, they're going to remain active. So if they are in an area of standing water and that dries out, if they stay there and it rains again, they're going to reactivate, so to speak.
Okay. And so how safe is it if it's always, you know, readily available? How safe is it?
In terms of its safety around animals or non-target species, it really is toxic only to mosquito larvae. So you don't have to worry about any harmful effects to people, pets, children, fish, birds, only mosquitoes.
Okay, so where can people find Summit Responsible Solution products?
We are available in most local garden centers and hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on the shelves of mass merchants as well as big box stores. We're available online and, of course, online at our website, summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
That's great. And so here's what I was thinking this last week. Knew you were coming on and Father's Day's coming up, but also vacations are coming up. And when people go to the mountains or they go to another state to visit family and they're staying in a new place or out in the country, out in the woods, and the mosquitoes eat them up, or they're going to a family event, Father's Day event, and the mosquitoes are out there. So Summit has products for all of these, and they can take Summit with them.
Yes, yes. We make a product called Green Armor, Green Armor Clothing and Gear Treatment. And it's a product designed to be used on your clothing and gear, to help repel and kill mosquitoes, as well as ticks and mites and chiggers, which can be a problem.
And they can use that to spray their tents with?
Yes, yes. You can treat your tents, backpacks, your lawn chairs, you know, canvas lawn chairs. It's a great application for that. And it really helps to prevent a lot of those pesky bites.
Yeah, because, you know, people think, I was asked about, you know, citronella plants this week. And I go, you know, citronella plants, they don't work. The whole state would be planted with citronella if it did work. The citronella works when you crush it up and you put it through the blender and then you spray it. But just having the plant doesn't help. So Summit Responsible Solution products are much better. Now, what about spraying the yard?
For spraying the yard to control adult populations, we make a product called Mosquito and Gnat Barrier. It's a permethrin-based spray, and you really want to spray where mosquitoes are resting or where they harbor, So vertical surfaces like fences, your decking, in shrubbery, tall grasses, piles of leaves, places where those mosquitoes might rest throughout the day.
And so this is, again, a product they could take with them wherever they're going and handle all the pest issues around their cabins and the hotels and things like that.
Yes, absolutely.
That's excellent. I'm so excited about that. And so, so Heather, again, what is the website they can go to and see all the products? Because you have so much more than that.
Our website is summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Excellent, Heather. So do you have any vacation plans yourself this summer?
Just a couple of quick weekend trips, which I'm looking forward to. So, maybe getting up to Lake Erie for a couple of days this weekend and visiting with some friends.
That would be so nice. Well, enjoy yourself. Thank you so much. And Summit Responsible Solutions, we appreciate their sponsorship. It's a great product, and they have great products and environmentally friendly for everyone. Always follow instructions on the label. Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you for having me, Teresa. Have a great weekend.
You too, hon. Thank you. And so that's incredible. I never thought about taking it with us on vacation.
Oh, I never did either, but that actually makes sense.
Doesn't it? Because, I mean, that's what I remember about vacations and Father's Day, going away for the weekend and going up to the cabin in North Carolina, and then you're dealing with the mosquitoes, mm-hmm. and just take it with you, and it works immediately.
And that's so much easier than carrying the camphophonique with you, so.
It is. It is. And so appreciate it. So we are going to be taking your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. And again, Peterson's Nursery at 9:30 today is going to have a Patriot Landscape workshop. And you can go there. These are free. I would bring a chair.
Yes, always bring a chair.
Because they really have a great attendance at these workshops. And they're so much fun to go to. And you're going to love all the plants there. So it's just, you're going to go home with a plant today. Just know you're going to adopt a plant today at Peterson's Nursery. Yes. And this is the Rose Month. And so they still have beautiful roses there.
Yes, they do.
And so Howie can help you select that. And then also, too, Mike, thank you so much for letting us know you're getting rain in Venice. I'm so glad. And let's see. We have more. I'm going to be talking. Oh, Linda in Zone 8 says, share with Heather that I'm heading out with my handheld battery-operated sprayer to a flat tack fleas in my dog yard. And she wanted to know if any special do's and don'ts, or is that another Saturday? So, I would not walk where I would make sure you walk the entire yard, Linda, and that way you get the entire yard. And now's going to be a good day to it because you're not expecting rain for a couple of hours, and that'll let it dry and be a very effective spray. So 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
Yeah.
Wanted to say we still have a couple of more spots on the most amazing garden tour in Buffalo, New York in July. And it is an incredible tour. We go to beautiful homes. It is the Garden Walk Buffalo. It is world famous. And we're also going to Niagara Falls in Canada. So it's going to be a great trip.
Yes, definitely.
And we just have a couple spots left on that. You can go to my website, www.shehe-consulting.com. You can get past shows. You can get the newsletter, which is coming out today. And Lizzie, we got your column up there with it. So, and my landscaping malpractice. Oh, wait till you see it. And my plant of the month. It just blew me away.
Yeah, that landscaping malpractice, I never thought of the things that people who maybe doing your landscape should not do. And Teresa gives it to you straight.
Here you go. Thank you, Lizzie. We're going to be right back with your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. And during the break, Walter called in. He's on the Space Coast, and he was letting us know that his avocado tree is flowering and doing very well.
Yes.
And I'm very excited for him. And he also said that it sounded like I was saying the name wrong for Summit Responsible Solutions. And I will tell you, sometimes I talk fast. So it is Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T. And the website is summitchemical.com. Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, chemical.com. Great products, environmentally friendly, and they are very, very helpful in the landscape, especially for having events outside during the summertime. No matter where you are in the country, there's always mosquito problems when we get this heat.
Yes.
And we get standing water and rainfall. So you definitely want to take advantage of their products, like Linda, too. She's also using it for her dogs and a spray for fleas and ticks. It's incredible. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. So in your landscape for June, this is not the time now to prune your azaleas. The time for pruning your azaleas and your camellias is over. Time for pruning your hydrangeas is over. So you want to make sure that you are taking care of them. So if you have too large of azaleas, then you can go ahead and snip them back. Just remember that they're now setting out blooms for next year, buds. And so if you have to do it, I would do it this week. Okay, you just don't want to do it after the month of June. That's why you see all the flower shrubs blooming on the inside, especially Laura petalums too. They bloom on the inside of the plant and not on the outside. And you don't get as many. Crepe myrtles, there's no reason to cut them back. You can just clip the blooms off of the crepe myrtle. You don't necessarily need to let them go to seed, or you can wait till they seed and cut them off then. And they are blooming beautifully right now. The crepe myrtles, the pink Tuscarora, looks amazing. Now, if you have a Tuscarora and it's not blooming yet, you may be cutting it too much with crepe myrtle. You can cut it back too harshly, and then it takes a long time for it to recover, or it takes longer, months longer, for it to set out new blooms again. So no need to do that. There are some crepe myrtles that'll bloom multiple times if they start blooming earlier in the season and you cut those blooms off. You could get a chance where they will bloom again. So nice, healthy poinsettias. That's good. Now, what can you cut back? Well, you can trim back poinsettias 4 to 6 inches, and that will keep them compact. This is the time to cut them back. Also, you can wait till August and cut them back then again, too. So summertime is the time to cut your poinsettias back. They'll have time to recover and get ready to start turning their bracts red, so they're good. Also, too, this is a time to divide your orchids and your bromeliads, or repot them. If they've finished blooming, and you can go ahead and repot them, put them in another container if you'd like. Make sure you're feeding your orchids every other week with a liquid or slow-release fertilizer as labeled. Also, too, you can also stick them out in your pool area or even from your ligustrum trees outside in your front yard or your backyard. They're wonderful. This is the time of the year to go ahead and feed your aquatic plants, your water lilies in your goldfish ponds or your water features, your horsetail reed. You can go ahead and fertilize them now. Now, how do you do that? Well, it should be in pots in your, you know, goldfish pond, 1 gallon or 3 gallons, and you should have a little bit of a layer rim at the top of the pot with pea gravel, some kind of rock that holds the dirt in. Take it out of your pond, move the gravel aside, place your fertilizer, your slow release in the ground, push it down into the soil, and then go ahead and push the gravel back so it's all nice and neat, and put it back in your pond, and it's done. All right, that's a really easy way to do it. Trimming your hedges now is a good time to do that. If you're getting your podocarpus, that's a really easy trim. They don't mind being cut. But if you're trimming your ligustrums or your viburnums, try not to use electric saws, okay, or those weed whackers. Because what that does is it just rips the leaf right off, and sometimes you're cutting the leaves in half. It doesn't look good, but it also makes your plant more susceptible to stress, all right? So hand trimming your hedges is preferred. I know it's not always possible, but if they're going to use, you know, automatic equipment, electric saws or chainsaws or electric pruners, go to the stem and cut the stem. Don't cut the leaf, all right? And that's very, very important. Vegetable care right now, you want to make sure you're fertilizing every 3 to 4 weeks and use slow release. And then also your herbs. Herbs can still be growing. You have to check out Lizzie's herbs that she's already packed for the summer, her sage and her Thai basil. We talk about that in the newsletter. Let's go to Eileen in Polk County. Good morning, Eileen. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am great. Thank you very much.
Okay. I have two drip roses on the other side of the house.
Okay.
I do not like them there. I want to move them where the other ones are that I got from Peterson.
Uh-huh.
And this one is a peach one.
I love
and
that
a
color.
Yellow one.
I love that color. And I love both of those colors, and I bet they look magnificent.
Well,
go ahead.
It's got some fungus.
Ah. We've been getting a lot of rain, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been spraying them with neem oil.
Okay.
I want to move them because we've had some funnel growing up there, and the grasshoppers have been eating that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay.
And I've been trying to take my little chainsaw and knocking it all down, which they're not very happy with. Because
they never talk to you again, right?
No, and that is fine with me.
I agree. Okay, Eileen, so you want to move them. So
yes.
What I would do is wait till after a rainstorm, make sure they're nice and hydrated, they're nice and watered, and then you could just pop them up right out of the ground. They don't have a deep root system, probably about the size of a 3-gallon pot still, and have your hole ready. I would go ahead and water your hole first, okay, before you plant them in the hole. And then that way the dirt is not going to suck the water out of the root ball. So go ahead and saturate the hole a couple of times before you plant your drift roses, and then plant them, mulch them, and they'll be just fine. You won't even notice anything.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome, Eileen. Have a good day, hon. Thank you. We're going to be back with your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Voters' discretion.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is my top five summer vegetables and herbs that attract pollinators. And the very first one is squash. Squash is an excellent bee attractor. It also attracts pollinators, butterflies. Wonderful. There is even a squash bee. My second one is peppers. Peppers love to attract pollinators. And the more peppers you have, the more pepper bushes you have, the more pollinators will be attracted. They love the colors, and they're very colorful. Very big clue. My third is okra. Okra is a wonderful, wonderful vegetable to attract pollinators, but it's a pretty flower in your garden. My fourth one is African blue basil. It is a bee magnet. Oh, my goodness. They love it. African blue basil is an excellent choice. as is all herbs, but African blue basil just rocks. And my fifth top five vegetable for attracting pollinators is zucchini. The round zucchini flowers attract pollinators with their bright yellow funnel-shaped blooms. They love bumblebees, love them, butterflies, and even hummingbirds. Thank you, Lizzie. I so appreciate it. We've got two calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And we also have text messages, Judy, and a environmentally safe weed spray. We're going to be talking about that. Let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Good morning, ma'am. I have, I know everybody else can pick good watermelons in the stores now, but I have a hard time doing it. Uh-huh. You know, they say if it's yellow on the bottom, it's good. They say if the stripes are close together, they're good. They say if you thump it, anyway, if you push on the end with a stem, it's and soft, it's good. What do you say? Because I just can't get, I mean, they're okay, but they're not like they used to be when I was a kid, or I thought about them differently. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of it, too, depends on the variety and how long it's been. Sometimes when you get them in the store, they have been, you know, waiting to be sold for weeks, and that kind of, I think, affects the flavor. So I think fresh watermelon in your yard, like you used to have when you're a boy, is the best. But I thump mine. I thump them and... Lizzie's rolling her eyes at me. I thump them and make sure that they have a good thump, that, you know, you shake them. And if they feel good, I buy them and I usually enjoy them.
Okay, now let me ask you, if you're thumping a box of them, you know, might be 20 or 30 in a great big container, you know, what kind of a thump are you, do you, the... I don't know how to even ask the question.
I know. I'm wondering how you're getting through.
It's almost like a hollow sound.
It is,
right?
A hollow sound, yes. And so, because you want that water in there, I mean, you want to make sure that they're nice and juicy. And the harder you thump it and you get that kind of thud, then, you know, uh-huh. and it will be good. You got to be a professional thumper, Michael. You just got to practice more.
I'm trying to. Thank you so very much. But they all thumped one, you know, I mean, if you had some kind of a meter where you could tell the thump was a heavy thump or a light thump or a hollow, you know, anyway. Okay, well, just go pick them. And
so what I would do is go to a fresh produce stand, one that had that it hasn't been in on a truck for a couple of weeks. So you want to get something that's fresh out of the watermelon patch.
Have them along the roadside selling, you know, out of the back of the truck, and they were always good.
Yes.
You know, now they're just, I don't know. Thank you very much. Hey, good luck to both of you. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you so
Lizzie,
much.
Thank you very much.
Michael,
bye-bye.
Thank you. You know, I don't know what to tell him.
It really is. It's hard to tell. The only thing that I can go by is usually the thump. I've heard the color, the this, the that, and blah, 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 and I still can't.
I thump.
Yeah, thump them.
There you go. Let's go to Mary Ann. She's also in Melbourne. Good morning, Mary Ann. How can I help you?
Hi.
Hi.
I had a bush in front of my house, and these little insects, I'm going to call it.
Okay.
I don't know what else.
Uh-huh.
They are about 1 inch long,
uh-huh.
and they have caterpillar-like legs,
uh-huh.
and it just killed the whole plant, and it seems to be invading, I'm going to call them the white angel
trumpet
plants.
Yeah, the angel trumpet vines, or trumpet trees?
Yes.
Okay, so...
The leaves just go away, so I'm guessing that they're feeding on the leaves.
Yeah. So anything that you caterpillars, so it's probably a caterpillar. The plant, do you know the plant is an angel trumpet?
Yes.
Okay. And so, do you have oak trees nearby?
Yes.
Okay. They could be moths. And, of course, moths lay larvae that turns out to be little, you know, worms, little caterpillars, too, as well. So you could spray with 7 when you start to see them. And anything that chews leaves, it will affect. So 7, S-E-V-I-N, all right, would be a good choice for getting those caterpillars that's environmentally friendly.
Okay. but it totally kills the plants.
It shouldn't kill the plant totally as far as the caterpillars. I mean, Mother Nature doesn't produce or doesn't kill something that's going to be, you know, food for the insects, but they will strip them right down, but they should recover. So I don't necessarily think it's going to kill them, but they do strip the leaves right down. It's really sad. Now, do you have lights outside at night?
No.
No lights at all?
I mean, I don't have any lights on my house.
Do your neighbors?
My neighbors do, yes.
Okay, because that attracts moths. And when you have lights on at night, then moths are going to be attracted to your neighborhood. And so they're just going to look for food sources. So that may be one of the reasons.
Okay.
All right, hon.
But I'll get the 7 and spray.
Seven and spray, yes. Follow the instructions.
Do you think the plants will come back?
I think they will. I want you to call me back and let me know.
Okay,
look for it. Wait a couple of weeks. Go ahead and water it and fertilize it, okay?
Okay.
All right, hon. Thank you. Let's go. So I have a text message that says, is there a good environmentally safe weed spray for in my rock garden or in between my walkway? I'm way too old, and I have a bad back to be able to be picking weeds anymore. I do live near a canal, so I'm concerned about anything getting in there. Thank you. All right. So I don't have your name, but you can. There are products that are safe, herbicides that are safe to use near lakefronts. One of them is called Air Max, and it is a broad-spectrum spray that controls weeds down near shorelines. But I just want to make sure that you're spraying the right products. I want to make sure that you've identified the weed and it's not necessarily a native or it's something that could just be weed whacked, okay? So if you need to spray, there are safe aquatic herbicides out there and you just follow the label. One of them is called Air Max, okay? Broad spectrum spray, all right? And it will be able to be used near a lakefront, okay? It is safe to use according to the label. All right, that'll be safe. That's a great question. And then Judy in Venice says, what is your opinion on the practice of using cardboard as a weed barrier in garden with mulch cover? I do not use it, do not recommend it. The universities, the extensions, what happens with cardboard is it has that waxy buildup on it. They spray the wax so the cardboard lasts longer. That's not good. And then also, too, by using the cardboard in the soil, you are preventing the water from getting through. And then also, too, you are compacting the soil, and it's not getting any air. Air circulation is so important in soil. The microbes in the soil need it. I do not recommend, it's called lasagna mulching, putting the cardboard down and layering it with soil and adding other stuff on top of it. Just go ahead and add organic amendments to your soil. If you have weeds, you need to use at least 3 to 4 inches of mulch. Block the sunlight with natural mulch products, okay? And that will help you keep the weed seeds down. I do not recommend using a fabric mesh in your garden beds or the cardboard at all. Great question. Rob, hang on. We're going to get to you. If you have a gardening question in the second hour, it's all about you. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed this show with this last segment or any of our other shows, you can recap by going to betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.